Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for, you know, every time that we can come and not only learn more about you, Father, but learn about your word and what your promises are in your word so that we can live a victorious life right here. Father, you said that we can have a taste of the heavenly power, the supernatural power that is only in the age to come. We can have a taste of it right now, Father. We know that's true. We know it's true, Father, because it is in your word. It is in your word. It is in your promise to us through the sacrifice of Jesus, where all of these promises are yes and amen. And I just thank you, Lord, that you would help to open up the eyes and the understanding of all of our hearts so that we may hear and so that we may comprehend and so that we also may apply them to our lives, Father. Apply these principles that we will learn. And I just praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you guys want to turn to chapter 10 in the book of Romans, and we're just going to look at verse 9 and 10. Actually, we'll go ahead and do 9 through 13. This is all something that we all are probably fairly familiar with, and it talks about how we are saved or what the salvation process is and how in order that, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is just conveying the thoughts to us, conveying what the Lord wants us to do. And in verse 9, it starts out and says, you know, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know this was mentioned this morning about, you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But one thing that I like that I was seeing, and a lot of things that have been coming to me, Dan likes to pour books upon Chris and I to try to read, and even though, you know, we're not finished with the last one, he gives us another one and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we end up having something to read all the time. And so this one book that I've been reading recently is from Andrew Womack, and it's about grace. You know, the power of grace and the message or the power of the gospel that is in our lives. And some of the things that he's starting to talk about, and then another book that also Dan gave us from Andrew Womack was A Better Way to Pray. And it starts, I mean, both of the books are really just coinciding with one another and just really kind of conveying to myself that it's not just the words that I speak that matter. It's not the words that I speak because the words that I speak are just merely an extension of what is in my heart. And so what really matters is my heart with the program? Is my heart believing what I should be? Is my heart believing what I should be? And this is what's kind of pointed out in verse 10. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. So we have to have both of these in unison with one another in order to receive salvation. Well, the good thing about salvation is the fact that it includes every other promise that comes from the Lord. Every promise that comes from the Lord. We should not only be believing for salvation. If you trust Him with your salvation, you should trust Him with every other aspect of your life. He promises prosperity. He promises us salvation. He promises us health. He promises all these things to us. Well, the only way that we can unlock these things is if we believe in our heart and we confess it with our mouth. So if you don't believe it in your heart, what you say is not going to matter. What you say won't matter unless you think inside of your heart exactly what the Word of God is saying. If the Word of God is saying you have to believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, that you will be saved, guess what? You got to do it in that same sequence. You have to believe it in your heart. You have to confess it with your mouth. So it is not only the words that matter, but it is what you think about yourself, how you believe about yourself. You know, and then it's no wonder when people start getting into a funk of, you know, of depression or anything like that, there's no wonder that it continues and it perpetuates on and on and on, because it's inside of their heart is where that depression is, that anxiety or that feeling of, you know, worthlessness. And no matter what they say, if in their heart they believe that they're worthless, it doesn't matter what they say with their mouth, it's not going to change. We have to start renewing exactly what our thoughts are, exactly what is in our hearts, what's in our minds. We have to start renewing that by the Word of God, because that is the only thing that is the picture of life. The life is in the Word of God. And if we have that life inside of our hearts, it will just boil out in our words. And our words, just like we said before, is just an extension of what we believe inside of our hearts. You know, salvation, and this is one thing that's just, it's really hard to grasp, because salvation encompasses everything. When we are saved by Jesus Christ, not only is our spirit saved, but our mind is saved, and our heart is saved. Our physical body yearns to be redeemed from the curse of sin. Our mortal body is sitting here, and it consistently just starts to decay from the very beginning. I mean, we grow up, and we start to decay, and we start to get older, and we start to get, you know, things start to lose function, all these kind of things that go on. But the fact is that our mortal body, Jesus says that the Word of God will give life to our flesh, not remain in captivity. I mean, he says that when we are born again unto salvation, that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of sin, the curse of where sin inevitably leads to death. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the good thing about it, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know what I mean? The gift of God is eternal life, and so we really need to start to boil back down to what is our thoughts, what is going on in our minds, and how are we thinking about ourselves? Are we depressed about ourselves? I mean, another thing that we give mouth speak to is about revival. You know, I was having a conversation earlier this week, and I was driving home talking to Adam about it, and it was just kind of like, you know, we all sit here, and that was just a thought. It was kind of interesting how God just completely confirms things when you're talking. You know, you're thinking about things to yourself, and then you have a conversation with somebody, and they're thinking about the same thing. You know, it's just one of those things where you know that God's heart is consistent in all of our lives. And I was sitting there thinking about revival, and I'm going, you know, we talk about it, we think we have to pray for it. You know, we think we have to just yearn and plead with God or anything like that. But revival, it's not going to be one of those things where all of a sudden we're in church and then all of a sudden something just clicks and we're all set free dancing and shouting and having fun or anything like that. Revival is in your heart today. Because the revival, the source of revival is Jesus. The source of revival is the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, there should be no problem with revival. Because he's already sent his Son, he's already sent his Spirit, he's already sent that redeeming work inside of our hearts. All we've got to do is start tapping into it. And the fact is we can't pray for it, we can't plead for it, because God's not going to do anything any more than what he's already done. He's already healed us, he's already taken care of us, he's already given us salvation through Jesus Christ. And if we receive that work wholly and completely, we should have no problem trusting in him for every one of those things. And it's one of those things where also, when we really start thinking about revival, do people really want revival? Because revival starts changing things. Yeah. People got to get out of their funk about being all in it for themselves. Revival is, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes revival starts having services every day of the week. Anybody ready for that? I mean, seriously, if we have a hard enough time getting everybody here on one day a week, good luck on all seven of them, unless their hearts are into it. If your heart is into it, if your heart is into into believing in God, if your heart is into serving Jesus Christ, then if we got something sparked and we all started having meetings, we would be here every single night. Why? Because that is what would matter to us. We have to know what matters inside of our hearts, what matters inside of our minds. Are we really thinking about these things? Do we want this in our life? Because if we do, the gift is there. The Spirit is there. Everything is there. Everything is sitting in the waiting, just waiting for us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, and it just is a confirmation of the things we've been learning on Wednesday nights about the Holy Spirit is not a dictator. He's not going to just take over, not going to just, you know, command us all to have, you know, services all the time, or not even just that. He's not going to just come in and just sweep around and knock people all over to the floor or anything like that. What he wants is us to cooperate with him. He's not going to force us to speak. He's not going to force you to minister to anybody. But when you are willing to do so, when you open up your hearts to be that, you know, to be that flow of the Spirit, then it just unlocks so many different potential possibilities. It unlocks so much. And when I was thinking about the Holy Spirit and being completely open to the flow, a visual for myself that I was thinking of was, I don't know if anybody has had these before, but they're little extensions that you can put on the nozzle of like your faucet outside. And they have like two different little pieces that go out, and you can either turn them, you know, you can turn the little plastic piece to completely shut off the flow of water, or you can turn it to let the water flow. The source of that water, you could turn on that water all you want, but if you have the little directions turned to where it's not going to come out, it's not coming out. So we could have all the Holy Spirit that we want, but until we actually do that, until we actually accept that and open ourselves to the flow of the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen. We have to open those. We have to open that switch. We have to open it up to where God can manifest Himself in our presence. We have to open ourselves up to that, because when He starts manifesting Himself, people will be completely set free. People will be completely healed, miraculously. But if we are hindrances to the flow of God, we are hindering and putting God in a box. If we are not open to the flow of God, we are putting Him in a box. So we have to get our thoughts straight. And let's go to Matthew 15 real quick. And in Matthew 15, verse 18, this just confirms even more of what we were just speaking about. In verse 18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." Or another translation, I believe, says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Whatever we pour into ourselves, whatever we have inside of our hearts, is what's going to come out. Even if we don't speak it, you know, if we're like, "Oh, well, I just can't say negative things or anything like that," I got news for you. If the negative things are already in your heart, it doesn't matter if you speak it or not. I mean, if you got negative things going on in your heart, if you're confessing that you're sick, if you're confessing, you know, that you're worthless, if you're confessing these things inside of your hearts, no matter if you say it outside, no matter if you withhold yourself from saying these things, that's what's going to continue to perpetuate in your life. That's going to happen in your life, because you've got to get your heart right. This is a complete heart transition. When you start thinking about the Word of God, it starts from the very inside of your being. It starts from your heart, the life source. It starts right there. And then as soon as that gets set free, then you can have the fruits of the Spirit that take place afterwards. You can't have the fruits of the Spirit beforehand. You have to have the Spirit inside of you to have it. And as it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." And that just, and it's like a quote that I know I have on my the email that I have, like we can put little signatures on there, and a little quote that I have is from C.S. Lewis, and it says, "Surely, you know, what a man does, you know, when he's just caught off guard, that's more of a sign of what he is all about." I mean, and I know I just paraphrase it because I obviously don't know it exactly. But I mean, it's like if you're caught off guard, the way you react to somebody when you are caught off guard, that's a better reflection of the kind of man you are or the kind of woman you are. And if you really start thinking about that, what if something, you know, something jumps out at you and catches you off guard? You know, I know we've used the example many times before, but if someone cuts you off in traffic, catches you off guard, what's your first inclination to do? That's a better reflection of what is inside your heart than anything else. If someone gives you bad service at a restaurant, what's inside of your heart? To be mad at them, to complain about them, to be angry with them, or is it to understand and say, you know, maybe they're having a bad day, just an off day? I mean, as Christians, we should be the most generous and gracious people on this earth. If people see us in a restaurant and the only thing that we do is complain at the dinner table, what is inside of our hearts? Seriously, what is in there? I mean, if that is all we've got for it is just to be mad at somebody for something, then we've obviously not got the right stuff inside of us. We don't have that renewed spirit inside of us. It's awfully quiet. And let's just confirm this a little bit more. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Actually, you don't even have to turn there. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." What you think about yourself inside of your heart is what you're going to be to other people. If you think of yourself as somebody that's worthless, you think of yourself as somebody stupid, guess what? That's what you're going to convey to other people. That is what other people are going to see. Now, I'm not saying these things to make every single one of us try to, you know, be haughty or be prideful or anything like that. But we've got to start recognizing who we are. We are children of God. You know, and if we start thinking about that, children of God, the God that created this whole entire world, and I just, you know, and I can't fathom it, and I don't see how anybody can ever stop sitting in awe about that. The fact that God created this whole entire world and He wants to have a relationship with us. And what do? With that? We know that He wants to have a relationship with us, and all we have to do is reciprocate that. All we have to do is be in line with that and say, okay, God, I'm going to have that relationship with You. I'm going to spend time with You. I'm going to do these things. But what we have in our hearts is telling us that we are more focused on everything else that goes on in this world. We're more focused on these things. We've got to get our hearts right. And I don't say that to be any kind of demeaning, because I know sometimes I know I have my heart in the wrong place. But why I say this is because if we want God to use us, if we want God to not only just use us for other people, but use us in our own lives and make our lives victorious, then we've got to start doing something about our hearts. We've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. We've got to be open to the Word of God. We've got to be open to correction. We've got to be open to these things. That's the only way we grow. You know, it's the only way that we get better at writing papers is in college, is when we not only practice it, we write it, but then we also get critiqued. And we give our, I mean, the teacher gives us, you know, red marks or whatever, and they tell you what you did wrong. Well, and that's so you can improve on that, and so you can get better the next time. That's why God tells us that we should be corrected by the Word of God, or be corrected by our, you know, by our leadership. When we're corrected, it's not something that it's not a physical attack upon you. It's not any kind of attack upon people, but it's so that we can flow better in the Spirit. It's not that your heart wasn't right, but maybe you just missed the mark. But that's the point. We have to learn. We have to move forward. We have to do these things in order for us to accomplish what God has sent us to do. I mean, our hearts and our minds guide our lives and guide our health, guide everything that goes on in us. You know, nothing has confirmed that more than when I started thinking about, I mean, a couple sets of, you know, one was great-grandparents, another one was grandparents. But when you really start thinking about it, their will to live controlled the physical health of their body. Why else would we have so many different, when one spouse dies, why would it be so quickly that the next one does? It's not because anything just automatically, when somebody dies, it's not that it just automatically triggers a bunch of physical, you know, physical traumatic effects to where they just completely break down. It's because inside their hearts, they have lost, sometimes they've just lost that will to live. They don't want to do it anymore. And so because inside of their hearts are saying, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't want my physical life to function. I don't want that physical being to continue. Guess what happens? They physically start to break down. They physically start to do that. And that's what, I mean, and I'm not saying we should just be all about, I mean, because I know the world likes to put a spin on it saying, oh, you're just, you know, positive speaking or anything like that. But it really does. It's what's inside of your heart. If you start speaking things that are inside of your heart about the Word of God, confirming the Word of God inside of your heart, then these things will start to happen. The Word of God tells us that we will have health. And if we cling to those promises, and if we cling to those things, then we will continue to have it in our lives. Another example is that some people, they go, well, you know, they're really active for their age. You know, they're really active, and that's what keeps them going. What keeps them going is that they have a purpose. They feel they have a purpose. You know what they do? They enjoy what they do. They're enjoying life. And guess what? They want their life to continue. So guess what happens? They usually continue. I am providing some medical, you know, problem that happens later on in life. But I mean, when people lose the will to live is usually when their physical being continues to, you know, degrade and just go completely to the trash. And so what's inside of our hearts controls that outward effect of the health, controls the outward effect of the Spirit. I mean, controls all of these things. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 2 real quick. And in verse 29 of Romans chapter 2, Paul again writes, it says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." What he's saying is that circumcision, the inward man, that heart condition is what really matters. It doesn't matter what the outward physical covenant that, you know, because obviously back in this time, everybody was, the Jews were so holding tight to their firm beliefs of, you know, the law. Even though Jesus fulfilled the law and completely, you know, took care of everything that was there, it didn't matter if people were circumcised, didn't matter if there was anything that was going on like that. But what truly mattered was the circumcision, the change inside of their hearts, was the true reflection of whether or not somebody was saved. That's why God tells us that they will know us by our fruits. They will know us by our fruits. Why? Because if we truly have a change inside of our hearts, our lives will reflect that. Our lives will reflect that change. The circumcision inside of our hearts, the inward being, so it's the heart that matters. It is our heart change that matters. You know, in order to get our words and actions right, we need to deal with the heart. We need to deal with our minds. We need to deal with our thoughts. We need to deal with these things. The good news is God gives us God gives us instructions on how to deal with these things, how to deal, change our hearts, change our ways, change these types of things that are going on. If you guys turn to Psalm 119, and in Psalm 119, I'm going to start in verse 9. We're going to go through 16. It says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, and as much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." This is how we can cleanse our way. This is how we can get our thoughts right. This is how we can get our hearts right and our minds right. In verse 15, I think, is one of the most important things that we can look at. It says, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." We will think about what the Word of God says. Yeah. We will think about what the Word of God says inside of us, inside of our hearts. What does He say about your life? What does He say about your situation? We will think about what the Word of God says. In Romans, it says, you know, they didn't, it was like another thing that was a teaching from Womack was talking about how to keep filled with the Spirit, but keeping, you know, embracing the Word of God and esteeming the Word of God. Esteeming, putting value upon what the Word of God says versus everything else. Amen. The Word of God should be our number one priority, and if something says something contrary to the Word of God, it's a lie of the devil. People will be like, "Well, that might be kind of a bold statement or whatever." Well, the Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what everybody else says about it, but I'm telling you that if God tells me that I'm made whole, I'm made whole.
That's right.
You can tell me whatever you want. You can tell me I'm coming down with the flu, but whatever. That's not happening here. You know, we have inside of our hearts what we value. And that's what this whole passage is talking about. Taking heed according to your word. You know, paying attention to what the Word of God says. It says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." My whole entire being, my whole entire heart, I'm looking for you, Jesus. I'm looking for your word. It says, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The problem that people have, the reason why people keep falling back into their old lifestyles, is because they don't have the Word of God inside of their hearts. Because they don't pay attention to the Word of God. They don't put these things in them. They don't meditate on them. They don't contemplate on them. And that's the reason why sin continues to pull people right back. Because we have yet to realize that when we died in Christ, that we live through Christ. Christ doesn't have sin in his life. So when we live through Christ, it is possible for us to live a sinless life. I'm glad three of you thought it was cool. But I mean, for Pete's sake, what we have in our hearts is what's going to come out of our mouths. So we need to start getting what's going on in our hearts right. We need to start contemplating the Word of God, meditating on its precepts. As it goes on in verse 13, it says, "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." What the Word of God says about things. What He declares is right and wrong. What He declares is true and untrue. That's the judgments of the Lord. He says, "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of the Lord." Which means that if it's in your heart, you're going to agree with your mouth. You're going to confess it. He's talking about keeping it hidden in your heart. He says, "That I might not sin against you. Bless you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." I am in agreement with the Word of God. Why? Because I have it in my heart. Because I keep it in my heart. I contemplate on it. I meditate on it. And then at the end it says, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." You forget things that you don't consistently go back to. I know it might be a poor example, but I'm telling you, when I was younger, when I got out of school for the summer, I was like, "Oh, thank goodness. I'm not touching a pen and paper for 3 months." You know? I was like, "I'm not doing it." And I'll tell you, when I got back to school, my writing was as bad. I mean, it wasn't that I completely forgot how to write. I knew what the letters were. I knew all those different types of things. But when I tried to put things down on paper, I was like, "This is so not legible." I mean, and it was because I was out of practice. I didn't keep it going in my life. I didn't continually do it. And so, I mean, whatever we keep doing inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, what we keep doing with our lives is what will continue to stay fresh, continue to stay good, to continue to stay new. So go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. In verse 20, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Once again, talking about the Word of God being inside of our hearts, being the central of our lives, the central part of our lives. It says, "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Well, that's good. "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Woo! We have got a dense crowd today. Alive to all of your flesh. How is that not exciting that the Word of God not only redeems your spirit, but He redeems your physical body? He says, "You don't have to put up with this. You don't have to put up with all the stuff that people go through in this life." We don't have to put up with it. Why? Because our being has been redeemed. Our whole being has been redeemed. It says that, we'll read it one more time. We'll start in verse 20 again. I want to make sure you guys all get this morning. It says, "My son, give attention to my words." So once again, be attentive to what God is saying. You know, pay attention to what He's saying. It says, "Incline your ear to my saying." So He's saying it again, trying to remind you, keep this, pay attention. You know, listen to what I'm saying here. It says, "Do not let them depart from your eyes." It means you have to read the Word of God. "Keep them in the midst of your heart." Just like back in Psalm 119 was talking about, meditate, contemplate, keep those things inside of your hearts. Don't let them depart from you. It says in verse 22, it says, "For they are life to those who find them." And in my whole heart, I really believe that He's talking about having life inside of your heart. The Word of God has life inside of your heart, and then it manifests itself. But if we continue to keep that Word of God inside of our hearts, it manifests itself at the end of verse 22. It says, "And health to all their flesh." So if we keep the Word of God inside of our hearts, if we keep that inside of our hearts, and we continue to contemplate and meditate upon it, we will have health in all of our flesh. But it only works if we know what the Word of God says, and we meditate on it, and we continue to say, "This is true, not anything else." We have to keep this inside of our hearts. And it continues on, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. He's telling us that we need to put away all this negative stuff that's going on in our lives. We need to put it out of our mouths, because the more you confess it, the more it's going to come into being. People don't believe that, but also in the book of Proverbs it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why in the world does God, you know, the world, the whole universe was created by his words. God didn't sit there, form it with his hands or anything. He spoke it into being. And there is a very crucial biblical truth there that we need to see. Because he says that, you know, salvation, we can believe unto righteousness, but it's with our confession that we are made unto salvation. It's that confession that happens, that allows God to rebirth our inside. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do things on purpose. Yeah. Establish your life and do what you have set forth to do. If you have set forth to serve God, do it. Don't do it any other way besides doing it full force and looking straight ahead. As Dan was pointing out I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but talking about you can't look in two places at once. You know, you can't look at two different scenarios at once. If you're going to focus on God, you're going to completely forget about your problems. It's hard for us to really think about that. Sometimes we're like, well, how could I ever forget about my problems? Because we're not focusing enough on God. That's why we're not forgetting our problems. So do things on purpose. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Don't go on that broad path. Stay on the straight and narrow path. So don't turn to the right or the left. Go straight. Go straight. So keep that in mind. I mean, life is in our hearts, and it equals a change inside of our flesh. It will give life to all of our flesh. And let's go ahead and go to Philippians 4:8. I got two more verses for you, and then we'll be pretty much wrapped up. I'll say pretty much just in case I go on for something. But in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Why is he telling us to do that? Because he realizes that if we meditate and we think upon good things, it will only resonate with what we say. I mean, what we do in our lives, if we meditate on these things, it will have an effect upon our lives. If we focus, if we continue to, you know, focus on all the negative things in our lives, then guess what? You're going to be down. I mean, you're going to be depressed about something, because you're focusing only on negative things. Because what we focus on in our hearts is what gives either life or death to our flesh. So if we focus on the Word of God, we focus on what God says to us, then it'll give life to our flesh. So that's why he says, focus on these things. Whatever things are lovely, what things are of good report. You know, and it's just so, it's so wonderful to think about that, because back in the book of Proverbs, it talks about, in Proverbs 16:24, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. I just liked the way that sounded when I read it. I mean, it was just, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Health all the way to our bones by the by the pleasant words that we speak. By these things that we speak, if we speak life to our situations, then it will be not only sweetness to our soul, but it will be health to our bones. It'll be health to our flesh. Just like in Proverbs chapter 4, the word of God brings health to our flesh. Now, the reason why I pointed all these things out to you is because we have to renew our minds. We have to renew our minds. Why? Because when we are saved, it saves our soul. You know, we've got to renew our minds. And how do we do that? By starting to focus and contemplate on the word of God. God gives us messengers so that we can hear the gospel, so that we can respond to the gospel. But after we respond to the gospel, we have to start to responding to his continued guidance, which is contained in the word of God. There's a purpose for the Word of God, and it is for us to read, for us to contemplate, to meditate on. And the glorious thing about it is that when we get our souls saved through salvation, when we start focusing upon the Word of God, then we will start to see the physical manifestations of the rest of God's salvation package. We will start to see these things in our lives. And when we start to value these things in our lives, then, as we talked about at the very beginning, we can start to see a revival manifestation in spirit in the body of Christ. You wonder why it hasn't hit the whole entire nation. It's because people don't desire it. People don't value the Word of God. People don't value God changing their lives. You look at all these different countries like China, where it's completely not okay to be a Christian. It's thriving there. Why? Because the people that get involved want it. They pursue it. They want it, and they want it bad. Why? Because it's a change of their whole entire life. It liberates their whole way of thinking. It liberates them in a way that they have never learned before. They're feeling love like they have never felt before. Why is it that we don't see that going on here in, you know, the nation of the United States? It's because it's not oppressed at all. It's because it's not being held from us. You know, it's almost like the human nature of wanting something you can't have. And so when we can have everything that God has to offer for us, we're like, okay. But until we see that revelation and know that God's word will completely change your life, then we will start pursuing it. And just like in these countries where the word of God and the Christian message is oppressed, we will start seeing those same results because the desire will burn deep down inside of our hearts. When that word of God, like it says, is like a fire shut up inside of our bones, that's when we will see things start to spring forth, because people can't keep that fire inside themselves. Fire is meant to spread. You have to work to keep fire contained. You have to do something to keep it contained. You have to keep it inside of a fire pit. But if you start lighting a tree on fire and it's right next to a bunch of other trees, you're going to have to work really hard to keep it contained. Why? Because the fire is going to spread. And so if we have that word of God shut up inside of our bones, that fire will spread to other people. So we have to desire these things, and we have to start thinking about the word of God being the life source for each and every one of us. So if you guys want to stand up, we'll go ahead and we'll just close in prayer today. I thank God every time that, you know, we can spend time just knowing what, you know, what he has to offer us. I mean, what he has to give us. And the fact is we don't have to do anything to get it. You know, we never had to do anything, didn't have to do any kind of work. All we have to do is appropriate it. All we have to start doing is claiming it and receiving those gifts. Just as we confess and we believe in our hearts for salvation, is that we confess out loud and we believe inside of our hearts the rest of the promises of the Word of God. And we can have those things too. Let's just bow our heads here this morning. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the sweet revelation that it is. Father, how much of a gracious God you are, that you would just come and be inside each and every one of us so that we no longer have to be a sinner saved by grace, but we are completely saved by grace. We are no longer sinners anymore because we have been set free from you. We have been set free by your word, by your spirit, by your sacrifice, Lord. I thank you that you have completely crushed the dominion of sin and Satan upon our lives. I thank you that you also in your word contain the promises that if we will continue to meditate, we will continue to think about, we will continue to contemplate upon your word, Father, that our words will be an extension. We will have sweet words pour out of our mouth, Father, that will bring health to our flesh, health to our bones, health to our whole entire body. And that means spirit, soul, and body, Father. I thank you that we are healed from any kind of emotional distress. I thank you, Lord, that we walk free and we walk proud of the Word of God and we walk in confidence knowing that you have redeemed us. I thank you, Lord, for that because I know that inside of my heart, that gift of salvation completely has just released the power of God in me. I thank you that you are just going to change the lives of every believer here, that they will start to value the Word of God, that it won't be just, oh, that was a great word or anything, that they will just go home tonight, they will go home tomorrow, they will do everything in their power, Father, to start focusing upon you. Start focusing upon the Word of God because that is what matters. That is what matters in our hearts and our minds, and I just thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the gift of your word, and I just thank you that you speak to us every single day through it. And I just praise you, Jesus, for our relationship, for each and every one of us, Father, that you have already birthed revival inside of our hearts, that you would help us to open those gates, Father, so that your Holy Spirit will flow. And I just praise you, Lord, that you have just blessed each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.